almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains.
And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where we have one of West Virginia's finest, the current athletic director at St. Francis University and acting women's basketball coach, Susan Robinson Fruchtel. Susan, welcome to the Greg Herenda Show.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate you having me.
Oh.
Great day to be on.
Hey, you know what? We have something in common. We have a lot in common. My father was born in Benwood, West Virginia.
Benwood. Where is that exactly?
It's 72 miles from Center Point. I've never been to Center Point. And I vowed that I want to go to Benwood just to see where my grandfather worked on the railroad in New Jersey.
Yep.
And the railroad went west, and they stopped in Benwood to have my father in 1927.
Wow. So I got to look that up because it's not very far.
And no one, whenever I go to West Virginia recruiting, no one ever knows, like, then one guy, oh, yeah, that's way, it's got to be obviously in the middle of nowhere, but it's, tell me about those Center Point.
Well, you've been to Loretto, so you've basically been to Center Point.
it's like that.
It's an hour southwest of Morgantown, so it's about 60 miles.
Okay.
Southwest of Morgantown. You go to south on 79.
Right.
And then you get to Clarksburg, Bridgeport, and then you go west about 25 miles. It's near Salem.
Gotcha.
So if anybody's heard of Salem University.
Right.
Which is a Division II school now.
Yep.
Down there. It's
sure.
Not too far from there. But yeah, it's small town, Greg.
Susan, the Greg Herenda Show is not about like where you're going or what's happening. It's about how you got to where you are. Tell me about Susan Robinson when she picked up a basketball and knew she could rock it and score it and rebound it. Tell me about you as a youth and as a basketball player and as a kid.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I remember when I knew I could rock it. I started playing in second grade, so I was one of the bigger kids.
Yep.
They didn't have our at that time, and a lot of elementary schools don't have teams now. You know, you have to play like youth league.
That's right. That's right.
But at that time, we had, because it was so rural,
right,
every community basically had an elementary school, K through 8.
Yep.
And so we had teams. We had third
sure.
and fourth grade teams that
right.
played on team.
Right.
Fifth and sixth, seventh
yep.
and eighth. And so they didn't have enough kids, I guess, to field, from what I remember.
Sure.
They didn't have enough girls to field a third and fourth grade team.
So you played up probably early.
Yeah. So they asked me, yeah, to play. And which, honestly, I feel it helped me because when I played up, I
yeah.
was a little smaller.
Sure.
So I started playing on the wing.
Gotcha.
And I think I learned to handle the ball at an early age.
I love it.
And then
it.
I started growing, and by eighth grade, I was 6 foot and grew an inch in high school.
Right.
But so I could handle the ball. And I, you know, I, at that time, you'll get a kick out of this. So I guess what, the satellite dish came in about, I don't know, middle school age. So,
right.
Of course, we had no cable out there in the sticks, so we
sure.
got a big old satellite dish. And I could get every NBA game at that time.
Cool.
So I grew up watching the Boston Lakers
right.
rivalries with. At that time, I was a Lakers fan. I loved Worthy, Cooper.
Very cool.
Byron Scott.
Right.
Magic.
Yes.
And watch Boston. I obviously watch Larry Bird a lot. I mean, I was more of a Bird type player.
Right.
Yep. So I had Dennis Johnson.
DJ,
that's what I grew
yeah.
up watching.
ML Carr was waving a towel yeah. and the whole deal.
Yes.
But did you know, so like, when you were a kid, I'm always curious with greatness, did you know you were going to be really good when you were young?
No.
You got to be honest
no,
with me.
You know, I mean.
All the great ones say that. I never believe them.
Yeah, well, you knew you were good. I mean, you knew you could do things. I picked up things very easily.
Right.
I could see the court really well.
Yes.
I just had a good feel. I didn't have great speed, and I didn't jump real high, but I had great eye-hand coordination. I played Little League for my dad. I was a pitcher. I played shortstop. I played third base. So I learned eye-hand coordination.
Wait a minute. You played Little League against boys?
I did, yeah.
How cool is that?
I credit actually playing baseball and then softball for him, slow pitch softball.
Okay.
I used to, you don't see it a whole lot in the women's game anymore, but being able to inbound the ball and throw a three-quarter court pass.
Right.
We did that a lot in college. We had quick guards, so I was somebody that became a very good inbounder of the ball because I could throw the ball long.
I love it. Tell me the first letter, first correspondence you had with a college as a prospective student athlete.
I don't know if it's exactly the first,
okay.
But
the biggest
ones that I remember.
Yeah.
Early on, coach by the name of John Street, who was at Akron.
Akron.
Because he was the head coach at Akron. You know, we were only about 3 hours from there.
Sure.
He probably saw me play, and he was one of the guys who pursued me the hardest.
Hardest, yeah. Who else?
I do remember getting, like, USC. It was Fred Williams at the time, who I think is still in the WNBA now.
Sure, yeah, legend.
He was an assistant. He used to write all the time.
What about Pat Summit? And No,
you know what? I had sent myself to Pat, but so growing up, at that time, the only women's game it was on was like the Final Four and the championship.
No, you're right.
That was it. And Mary Ostrowski played at Tennessee. Well, Mary Ostrowski was from Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Oh, I know Parkersburg. I've been there.
And she's since passed. She had gotten cancer.
Oh, God.
But up until that time, she was the best player to ever come out of the state. She was really good. We were really similar, actually.
Gotcha.
But I never played against her because she was older.
Right.
But she played, and that's early on. That's like, I want to go follow Mary O.
Exactly.
And so I had sent my stuff, but I don't really remember a ton. I mean, the five schools that I really had in on home visits were West Virginia, Penn State, Ohio State, North Carolina State with Kay Yao.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Ohio University and Akron, they were kind of smaller.
Sure.
But, you know, like, they weren't very far. We only live about an hour and a half from Ohio University.
Susan, I remember Louisiana Tech and Old Dominion. Like, like those teams, when I was a kid, young, I just remember, like, those powder blue uniforms.
Absolutely. Sonya Hogue
yes.
And John Barmore.
And those girls could, like, just ball. You know, like, they were way ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And then you matriculate to Penn State. And, Kenny, we're talking to a woman that scored over 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds, was the all-time leading scorer in Penn State women's basketball history until 2004. Is that correct, Susan?
Yeah, that's when Kelly Mazzani broke it in 2004.
Yeah.
Kid out of Montoursville, PA, and Cal could shoot it. She's coaching now. She's at IUP.
Oh, that's cool. But we're talking about you. Susan, come on, man. Don't deflect. We're talking about you, girl. This is your moment. Kenny, in 1992, Susan was the Wade Trophy. She was the best college player in all of Division I women's basketball. I mean, and I told my team this because I told my team that I was having you on today. And I'm like, guys, sometimes when you talk to people, you just don't realize who you're talking to. And I'm like, I'm having Coach on today. And I told my team that. And I'm like, I'd love to do the more homework I do. You were an academic All-American. You have your master's. You're an athletic director. You've been a Division I head coach at Providence, and now you're coming back, and you're the AD, and now you're the, I would say, acting or interim head coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing your accomplishments. And I tell my players all the time, is like the people that you talk to, you just walk by or acknowledge that there's greatness. And I think the NEC, everywhere you go, this is the third athletic director that we've had on, Susan. I had David Lankford, Bobby Valentine at Sacred Heart, and now you. And I just think the league has a lot of good people. But talking about you, like, those accomplishments are, and you're a humble person, but you're the best player in the game. Come on, you got to say, yeah, Greg, I was good. I mean, that's,
well, congratulations. I mean, I played on great teams. We were good. We could change defenses at the drop of the hat. We could.
Right.
I mean, we could show zone, go man, whether it was on the left side, right side. We were really well taught and schooled by our coach, Rini Portland. But, yeah, I mean, I studied the game.
Yes.
I was in the gym all the time. I think I could probably count on one hand the times I didn't shoot 100 free throws a day in 4 years.
At Penn State?
Yeah.
How many would you make, Susan?
My goal was at least 95. And my goal was always to shoot 90%. If you look at the stat in the women's game, I don't know what it is on the men's side.
Generally,
about probably a handful of people shoot in the 90% at the end of the year, by the end of the year.
No question. Oh, not even close.
So that was always my goal, was to shoot 90%. I was a career 88% shooter from the line, but I hit 90 one year.
You did,
And my senior year, Jenny Doyle, who Jenny was an assistant at Richmond and died tragically in a hot air balloon accident a few years ago.
Oh, you know what? I remember that. Oh, my, yes.
Yeah, we were the two that had the streak. We both had 42. I ended 42 makes in a row, and I know she got up to 60 or higher that year. In a row without missing.
Sure.
And it was kind of like this cool competition because we were friends, too. We used to wear Kathy Rush camps together.
Yeah, yeah. So no,
when we were in college. So that was
last year,
one big goal.
Last year, Susan, Darnell Edge, our starting two guard, had the highest free throw percentage in America. I don't know if you knew that, Darnell Edge.
I didn't know. What did he end up with?
I think his average was close to, I think it was 94.5.
Yeah.
It was him and a kid from Marquette. And Darnell Edge is like you. He's in the gym, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such an old, it sounds like an old school thing, but there's no replacing just time.
Repetition.
Reps in the gym, and it's just amazing. Then here's the thing that I love about your career is then – you graduate, you're picked in the third round in the WNBA.
Yeah, no, I didn't play.
I know you didn't play, but you were picked. Okay. You were picked. What? Now, that's my question. I know you went to Japan. I did my homework, Susan. Why did you not play in the WNBA?
My agent was Bruce Levy. Bruce was out of New York. But the league wasn't around that year. They didn't come out till a little later.
Gotcha.
I mean, Bruce was, he pretty much at that time signed all the All-Americans, and he was the guy to go with.
Gotcha.
And he could speak like five languages and was really intelligent. And at the time, Japan was paying the most in the women's side. I mean, over there was Teresa Edwards, who had been playing. Lynette Woodard was there.
Yep.
Katrina McLean. These guys have been playing for years.
Right.
They were in Japan, you know, making good money at the time. And so that's where we decided to go. We decided to go with him. And
how do you enjoy Japan?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it was a long way from home, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
That you take that flight and you land there and you're going to be there for several months. I mean, didn't have internet then. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't.
Right.
So it was literally calling home once a month, collect, and you know, you're at 20, like, it's expensive.
Yes. Remember, collect. That's a classic.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I had one teammate. She played at Tennessee, another post.
Oh, that's cool. So you had someone to kind of bond with.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't real physical, so it was a different style.
Right.
You know, they were doing a lot of weave stuff, shooting threes because they're
sure.
I mean, you were definitely the biggest player on the team.
Right.
But they were very honorable. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, I mean, guys and women that play overseas can tell you sometimes you don't get your money.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and
you're exactly right.
It's not glamorous when you go overseas, hardly at all.
Yes.
But Japan, they were very honorable. What they said, they did.
They did, yep.
And Bruce knew that, and that's why he placed, at that time, most of all Americans were playing in Japan. It was a shorter season.
Sure.
You played like 7 months, so
okay.
Wear and tear on your body wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was good. I still, I took, they paid for language classes, so
you know a little Japan.
Well,
Japanese.
I did. Now yeah. I forget everything. But I still keep in touch with a lady who was my,
that's cool.
My,
like
my
your
teacher.
Host? Oh, UT, okay.
Yeah, no, they gave us an apartment. We each had our own apartment in the same building. It was very modern, very,
sure.
very
sure.
clean, very nice. And, you know, it was very safe over there. So it just crowded. This is what I equate it to. Living in Tokyo was like going to a Penn State football game every day of your life.
It was just that crowded?
That crowded.
It's really?
Been,
even
yeah,
then, that was...
Somewhere there's been 100,000 people all in a small area.
Wow.
That's what it was like.
Susan, tell me, because the clock is ticking.
Yep.
Tell me the day that you realized you aren't going to play anymore for money and for love and that you had to really kind of, for lack of a better term, get a job. When did
yeah.
that realization occur?
Well, I always wanted to coach. I mean, when I went to college,
okay,
I spent
cool.
a ton of time in our coach's office, particularly Dan Durkin, who was my post coach.
Yep.
And so I had always wanted to coach. I originally thought it was going to be, you know, high school because my high school coach had a huge influence on me. I thought it was going to be teacher, high school coach. But when I got in college, I fell in love with college. Like I,
right.
just the atmosphere of going to games. And, we, you know, we had a lot of people at our games. I mean, we would have standing room only in rec hall with 7,000.
Oh, that thing was had to be rocking.
It was awesome. It was great. Those fans up there, I love them.
Yes.
Well, and we were good. We played, you know, we rarely lost in that building. So we were very successful. And, I played 1 year. I mean, I was going to go to Europe because my first year in Japan was the last year the Japanese, whatever, federation ended up
right.
making a decision that they were not going to have female international players. The
okay.
next year.
Wow.
They
okay.
said they wanted their post players to get more playing time so they could
gotcha.
Qualify for the Olympics because they had never qualified.
Gotcha.
Which they're good now. It's interesting because their national coach is a former Penn State men's player, Tom Hovas.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yes. Well, Tommy was over there when I was playing him and Ed Fogle, who played on the men's team. They played in Japan, and
so
I hung
yeah.
out with them. And
so,
Tom ended up being one of the first to be like one of the American legends on the men's side over there.
So they brought the knowledge. They brought the knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. So that year after I came back that spring, Dan Durkin got the Duquesne head coaching job.
Dan Durkin, okay.
And he spent 14 years at Duquesne, and I had always wanted to coach. And I was – so I had – Bruce had said, well, I have a position for you in Greece. But it did not pay – it paid well, but it did not pay as well as Japan.
Right.
And just because Europe wasn't paying as well as Japan at that time.
Exactly.
And I said, well, you know, I want to coach. And I talked to Rini. I said, like, this is, you know – I said, you know, I want to apply for this job because
sure.
I love playing. I had a long-term, you know, vision as well. And
gotcha.
I said, I know I can give this up and I'll play a lot of pickup, which I did.
Yes.
And I started my coaching career at age 23. I was an assistant at Penn State. I became the recruiting coordinator. I was there 5 years, got married, decided to get out of the college world for a little bit and
right.
We had moved to Pittsburgh, and I coached high school.
At Beaver Beaver Area High School?
Beaver Area High School, yep. And then after spending about 4 years at that high school, I was like,
college is where you belong.
Really want to finish my career.
And did you get your master's at Slippery Rock?
Yeah, I got a master's when I was an assistant at Penn State in higher education,
right.
administration. And then, yes, when we moved to Pittsburgh, I went and got my secondary school guidance master's at Slippery Rock. And then I worked as a guidance counselor and a high school coach.
Now, I'm going to ask you I'm going to ask you a really hard question, Susan, okay?
Okay.
And you just got to give me your answer. Is if you had the chance to be the athletic director or the head women's basketball coach at Penn State, let's just say we're in fantasy land, which job, or maybe it's not fantasy land down the road, which job would you sign on to without even with no hesitation?
Well, I'm not going to be either, but
I think
AD is probably a much tougher job. I mean, I think
yes.
Andy's got her. She's got a lot of
yes
flames in the fire, you know. But
right,
I mean, I love my alma mater. You know, it's
so going back to Penn State wouldn't be like shocker. It's you're a young woman that wouldn't be a shocker to anybody. I don't want to get you in trouble or stir the pot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking.
Yeah.
Go anywhere.
Right.
You know, I don't.
Well, I guess my question is, do you love administration more or basketball, really? That's the fairer question.
Well, there's different parts, you know. When they asked me to come back, I mean, St. Francis approached me in the spring of 2016.
Right.
And I still had 2 years on my contract at Providence. We had not finished what we wanted to do there, because that was a major rebuilding,
yes,
you know, situation.
Deal. Yep.
And we were starting to move in the right direction, but I had not planned on getting out of coaching. I mean, I felt that, I want to build this.
Right,
stay
right,
here
right.
Because I really like
right.
it there. I love Rob Driscoll.
Yes.
I love working with Ed Cooley. Ed was awesome.
Totally.
I loved her.
Providence is a cool town,
yeah.
man. Federal Hill and the whole nine yards.
Yeah,
and
it was a nice
you got
town.
Newport up there.
Living up there, yeah.
Sure.
But you know, when they approached me, it caught me off guard. I knew Bob Kremel was retiring, but I didn't. You know, and probably
yeah.
people that grew up in administration probably hate to hear that, you know, because the traditional path now is you start in administration at a lower level and you pay your dues.
That's
and you
right.
work your way up. Just
That's
like
right.
coaching. But St. Francis is a unique situation.
I love it out there.
Yeah, they didn't want to hire anybody that they didn't know, and they didn't want to hire anybody that didn't know them.
That's cool.
And
it's
a different environment.
Yes.
We're very faith-driven. We're very value-driven. We're very winning. We want to win. We want to win championships.
Right.
We want to be competitive, but it is not the be-all, end-all.
Yes.
The mentoring and the development of people is number one.
I love it. I absolutely
and doing
love
it the right way. And
you have so many great people out there.
Yeah.
Like Rob
yeah.
and Eric Taylor and
right.
even interacting with your women's team. I think people don't realize in the NEC there's much more interaction within the conference.
Yes.
Other bigger conferences, you can't get like in touch with people. But
right.
in the NEC and you can just see the people. And when we go out there, I just feel you know, everyone talks about, the long trip out to Western PA. I love going out there, and especially going
to St.
Francis.
Well, and you played pretty well here the last two times. We hated it a little bit more.
That's, you know, that's a good point. That's a good – subliminally, I think I react to the game, and then I love the people. But I was talking to you before the game and your women. They were really, really, really cool. Hey, listen,
yeah.
Susan – we got to go. The 30-second clock is ticking. I have a new nickname for you. You are the you are the jewel of the NEC.
There you go.
And I hopefully I've brought it to light. And what
there
I'm going to bring to light now is one of your top. I know you love Toby Mac. Me and my wife listened to him last night. We're going to take you out with the Elements, girl.
All right.
And I can't thank you enough for being on the show and being who you are and being part of our community in the NEC. I just want to thank you. Wish you a happy new year and good luck. I know you're 2-0 coaching, and other than playing Pete Sinella, I wish you all the luck in the world, girl.
All right. Thanks, Greg. You too. We'll talk to you.
You're the best. We'll be back with more of the Greg Herendez Show after this.
I'm Seth Greenberg, class of 1978. Yes, I am a fossil. loved my time here in beautiful Harvard on the Hackensack, Fairleigh Dickinson. And when I'm not working at ESPN, doing raps, doing games, doing College Game Day, you know what I'm doing? I'm listening to WFDU and the Greg Herenda Show. Doesn't get any better.